Well, Father, I just thank you tonight, and I'm sort of waiting on you, God, because I know you want to do something here. So we just thank you that you are here tonight. We thank you, Father God, that you heard our prayer and you showed up tonight, and that your angels are here on assignment, as your Holy Spirit is more than evident in this building. And Father God, I'm asking you to move smoothly and quickly through your people and to do a mighty works. And Father, I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. We thank you for it, Father. We just praise you for it, Father, right now. We give you all honor and all glory. We thank you for it. I want you to get yourself prepared. Just, you know, as you're sitting in your seat, I just want you to get yourself prepared for God to speak to you or to move upon you tonight. Because I think that's what God's going to do, according to what I felt when he was putting the message together. May I please say something? You know, God placed the glory on you last night. And so you have all power and all authority to go forth and do a works for the Father. Now, some of you get too weird. You all of a sudden aren't yourself. You're some weird person that you've made up think you have to be in order for God to move through you. I'm going to tell you, if you'll just be yourself, and you know, if you just, when you get up in the morning, say, God, here I am, your vessel. And I want you to, if you want to work through me, work through me. You have my full permission. And then go about your daily business being you. Not some one of these weird, spaced out religious people that, you know, can't function in a world because they're too weird, waiting for God to use them. I'm going to tell you, from the time I was born again, I was just myself. And God would just use me, you know, just right and left. He would just use me. Like, I went to church one Sunday, sitting there mind my own business. You know, and all of a sudden, when this person, when the pastor's husband walked by me, I felt something leave my body. And I was reading about Jesus, when a woman with the issue of blood touched him, he said, virtue left my body. I felt it. And that's what happened that day. And that pastor started, and I've told this before, but that pastor started dancing and singing, and he danced all over the building. You were there, weren't you, Nancy? I think. But anyhow, when he was all finished, you know, when the Spirit was through with him, he said, when I walked by Sister Barbara, the Spirit of God hit me. He said, I've been praying for years to be able to dance in the Spirit and you know, speak in other tongues. And that's what he was doing all through that building. And he said, when I walked by her, something hit me, and there I went. I wasn't being weird. I wasn't being super spiritual. I was just sitting there waiting for the pastor to start her message. And God used me as a yielded vessel to let the Spirit of God come out of me and hit him. That's all you have to do. Just be you. And then he does the rest. You know, if you get out there and get this special, try to get this special thing going, it's going to mess you up. Just be you. I walk through the grocery stores. People say, what'd you do to me? I didn't do nothing. I'm just trying to get my shopping done. But as they walked by me, the Spirit of God used me to heal them. I didn't pray for them. I just walked by them. So what I'm trying to say is, just be you. You know you have the glory of God on you now for the greater works. You know you have the Spirit of God in you. And so just be you and let God just use you any way he wants to. We always had the church going somewhere. We never stayed home. We was going every night if we weren't in church. And every Saturday we went somewhere. We went to this nursing home over in Maryland. And they brought all the older people in there, you know, and they set them down and we played, ministered to them. And I gave them a little short sermon. And the nurse kept coming, looking in the window and looking in the window. And finally she opened the door and she said, what are you doing to them? I said, nothing. She said, they've never been this quiet in the whole time they've ever been here. See, I was just there and the Spirit of God was there and the Spirit of God quieted them down. and they received the message, and we prayed for them. Didn't we pray for them? See, I was a little bit dumb and ignorant. I didn't know I had the anointing of God on me. See, I think sometimes it plays to be ignorant. Then you just be you. And then God can just use you. To this day, I sit and I say, God, I'm so sorry that I didn't understand how anointed I really was and what you was really doing through me. But I think he wanted me that way. Then he could just use me. When Jimmy, you know, they said he was born with a bad leg, and he said he would wear a cast, you know, metal cast all of his life. Teresa and brought him home and said, well, here's this metal cast, you know, to put the shoes and the thing, the brace and stuff. I said, you're going to put that on his leg. I took him to the bathtub, and I took that cast off. You know, he had a plastic cast, one of those casts on. I took it off, and Teresa said, we threw the shoes away or packed them up. She said, what am I going to tell the doctor? I said, I don't care what you tell him, but he's not going to wear that. He never wore that. See, I was just that dumb, and I believed everything God's word said, and he was just healed as far as I was concerned. See, we get so weird. We do all kind of gyrations. And sometimes I listen to people pray. I say, oh, dear Lord. You know, they have to go around the mulberry bush 10 times before they finally say, in Jesus' name, right? You don't have to do all that. Just believe and pray. You have to be full of the Spirit of God. You have to be walking in the holiness of God. And this is what a whole lot of people think. I just go out and do anything I want to do. No, you can't. The devil will work through you. Yes, he will. But if you really want to be a vessel of honor for God, you have to walk in the holiness, purity of heart, and really, truly love the Lord with all your heart and surrender to him. And then just go. Just go. Simplicity is called. Come on. I knew I was going to tell you that because God showed me that day, but I didn't know how to start it. So I used Alan as a board there to get the door open. And that's all he did last night. He said, hey, God showed me something, and I'm going to go for it. And he did. He wasn't thinking that, though. He really wasn't. It was just the Spirit of God. He allowed him to move. Are you understanding this tonight? Now, we're going to go into God's spoke to give you a word, so that's what we're going to do. But he wanted you to know that some of you are acting too spiritual, and you're messing your walk up, and you just need to be calmed down and be who God called you to be. All right? I'm so glad I was ignorant all those years, because I could have really got messed up. I could have got a full of pride and everything else. Come on. I think that's what's wrong with some of you. You got full of pride because God spoke to you, and boy, that went straight to your head. I don't know which head, the one I think above your head, because in here it's all races swelled. It can't hold anything else, so you must have one up there. But you got full of pride, you know, and you've got to bust that balloon of pride and just let God be God. I read where some of the older, you know, people that was used by God, they finally admitted that they were using the anointing God placed on them for their own advantage, money-wise. And I'm sorry, but sheep are gullible, and they'll fall for anything if they're not walking in the Spirit. All right, let's see what God says here. Do not think, this is God speaking, do not think for one instant that I am a far away God. I am right here beside you, right now, this night. I am here listening to your heartbeat. I am here waiting for you to rise up and declare victory on all sides. I am here to grab your hand and lead you into the miraculous. Now, see, I was praying at home, and I was sitting in a chair in a bowed down position. And I said, Mom, are you okay? Is something wrong? I said, no, I'm just praying that God goes ahead of us and is in the church and meets us tonight. He said, that's a good thing. And I really did, I do want God to be here, and I know God is here. So, and I know what God wants to do. So just be yielded and let him do what he needs to do within you. God says, can you believe for healing? Somebody saying, yep, I don't believe that. Now God says, can you believe for healing? Then God said, then heal. Can you believe for the blind to see? then lay hands on the blind eyes. What is it that you can believe for? Tonight, I'm here to meet your every expectation. And as you touch the hem of my garment, I am ready to allow my virtue to run through your being and watch you as you go forth to redeem the time you have lost in doubt and unbelief. That's why the anointing waned in me, is because I got into doubt and unbelief, because I listened to these pastors here in Delaware who told me that I couldn't do the things that I was doing. And then I start second guess myself, and I start praying for people, and I say, God, let this happen. That's not faith. And then I finally quit praying for people for healing. Don't allow anybody else to stop you from doing what God has called you for to do. Don't listen to them. Listen to God, period. I have found out a lot of pastors here in Delaware, they don't want to admit that you have an anointing because they don't have one, and they don't want you to be more proper than they are. And that is the truth. And that's going to happen to you when you get out there. There are going to be pastors who don't want you to be more popular than they are, and they'll try to make you sit down. I don't know how many churches I've been in, they tell me, just the pastors say, just shut down and sit down. I mean, shut up and just sit down. What you're doing is not of God. Well, what I was doing was of God. I was laying hands on the sick, they were recovering. I was raising the dead. I was prophesying. You know what I'm saying? It was all of God. But I'm warning you right now, if you truly want to be in the ministry, then be prepared to become against by other leaders. You hear me? I don't want you to be rebellious, but you need to know what God's called you for to do, and then just do it. All right, so God said, I am ready to allow my virtue to run through your being and watch you as you go forth to redeem the time you have lost in doubt and unbelief. Miracles all around you, just waiting to happen. Miracles will not happen when the atmosphere is tainted with doubt and unbelief. You can't have any doubt or unbelief when you start praying for people. You have to have faith, and you have to know that you know that God said when you lay hands on somebody, they are going to receive what you ask God to give them. Miracles take faith. It is faith that raises the dead. It is faith that causes blind eyes to open. It is faith that sets a captive free from the pain of the past. I want the atmosphere electrified with your faith tonight. He's talking to you guys in here tonight. I want the atmosphere electrified with your faith tonight. You came with anticipation, watching what I am going to do. And I come watching what you are going to do. Remember, whatever you place your hand to do, that is what will be accomplished. In my word, it always took a person to move by faith for the miracles to flow. I anointed you with the glory, and the glory carries all that you need to walk in the greater works. Then I said, how awesome is this? We have the Holy Spirit in all its fullness to do the miraculous. And last night we received the glory to do the greater works. We have all of heaven at our disposal, or I should say we have all of heaven in our mortal bodies. Are you listening here? I mean, you know, we are a bunch of blessed people. And what you have to do is believe it and receive it and carry it and then go forth and do. And John 14:12 says, most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And we know all the works that Jesus did, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do. What did he say? And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. He's talking to faith-filled believers. It is through the Spirit that the church is enabled to do the work of God. Jesus also links the greater works his followers will do to the promise of answered prayer. All right? It's what you're praying is what God is going to meet. You cannot have weak faith. Your faith must be off the charts. Where is your grain of a mustard seed faith? I just knew whatever I asked God to do, he was going to do. That's how I was. And that's how I am now, again. So you're going to have to just believe the word. You're just going to believe what God told you you're going to do. You're just going to have to believe it. And then just step out there and do it. I'm telling you, that's what you have to do. God said it, I can do it. So somebody said, well, you can't pray for the sick. Why not? It tells me right here that I can. You can't raise the dead. Well, yeah, I can because it says right here. A nurse said to me when I was praying for that guy to be raised from the dead in the hospital, she said, you can't bring him back to life. I said, yes, I can, because God's word tells me I can. And she said, well, he's dead, ma'am. You'll just have to just leave because he's dead. I said, no, he's not. She said, he has no heartbeat. I said, yes, he does. So she walked out, come back in, and she said, he's alive. I wasn't going to get up there and leave. Now, I could have gotten left and he'd have been dead. But I know that I know that I know that my father told me I could raise the dead. And so I did. Three times he died. Three times he raised back up. The fourth time he said, please let me die. But, you know, I had so much faith. You couldn't tell, didn't I, Teresa? You couldn't tell me there wasn't anything I couldn't do. Nothing. But I'm back there again. That old devil had me on a ride for a little bit. God said, you can go around this mountain as often as you want, but when you're ready to get off it, I'm here to meet you. So how many of you in here tonight, you just know that you know that you know that you have the anointing from God to get out there and raise the dead, pray for the sick, pray for your dead dog, you know, whatever, you know. That might get you in trouble, though. Somebody came here and I told the story about the dog, and they had a cat that died. And I had to go and pray for that cat. It died. And I said, this cat, I knew that cat was not going to come back to life. This was a different scenario. And she said, if you raise that dead dog, you can raise my cat. I don't believe that you raise a dead dog. I said, well, you can believe if you want to, but I'm leaving because I'm not praying for this cat no more. He is not going to come back to life. I just knew God let me know he wasn't going to bring him back to life. You hear that? There's sometimes you just have to say, well, I quit and back away. Somebody we know that I was acquainted with, I love very dearly, and they were sick, and God had promised them great things that they were going to do, him and his wife. And they called me to her house one day, and she was very sick. I walked in the room. The glory of God was all through that room. You couldn't even hardly walk. And God said, she's already been to heaven, and she doesn't want to stay here. So I walked over to where she lay, and I said, God said, you've already been to heaven. And you don't want to live no longer. You want to stay back, go back to heaven. She said, yes, I do. She said, my husband keeps praying me back, but I really don't want to live. And the night she died, I left the room. I went up there, and God said, let her alone. She's with me, and she doesn't want to come back. I left. I got in trouble because I left. But there's, you know, when God says, leave it alone, you leave it alone. Are you understanding this? When he says, leave it alone, leave it alone. I still don't think I've ever made the people understand what went on there, but I know what went on there. And it doesn't bother me what people say about me. And I'm not God, and I'm not going to go against God. Even though that one time he told me of that one young man, this is what's going to happen to him if he lives, and this is what's going to happen to him if he dies. It's up to you. You make a decision whether he lives or dies. You know. And I could have done that again, but I didn't want to do that. Because I knew what God told me. Yeah, don't do things just because people try to make you do them. Don't do things just because you want to have everybody to say, oh, look what they did. No, you didn't do it anyhow. Jesus did it. And if you're really walking in the spirit, you're listening constantly to the voice of God so that you don't do something that he doesn't want done. All right, I said, you cannot have weak faith. Your faith must be off the charts. Where is your grain of a mustard seed faith? In Matthew 17:19, it says, then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why could we not cast it out? And they're trying to cast out a demon, all right? So Jesus said to the disciples, because of your unbelief, for surely I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. So there are some times you're going to have to fast and pray before you go to do something. All right. Oh, well, I'm anointed of God. I've got the Holy Spirit in me, and now I have the glory on me. I don't need to pray. I'm just going to go and do. No, you still have to pray. You still have to pray to make sure what you go and do is what God wants you to do. All right. See, people get so messed up so quickly. All right. The Message version puts it this way. And it says, with a kernel of faith in Matthew 17, again in 14. At the bottom of the mountain, they were met by a crowd that was Jesus and his disciples of waiting people. And as they approached, a man came out of the crowd and fell to his knees, begging, Master, have mercy on my son. He goes out of his mind and suffers terribly, falling into seizures frequently. He is pitched into the fire, other times into the river. I brought him to your disciples, but they couldn't do nothing for him. And Jesus said, what a generation. No sense of God, no focus to your lives. How many times do I have to go over these things? How much longer do I have to put up with this? Bring the boy here. That's how if you're a pastor sometimes, that's how you feel. You've been ministering to your congregation, finally you said, come on, why don't you have it by now? This is what Jesus was saying. All right, Jesus ordered the afflicted demon out, and it was out, gone. From that moment on, the boy was well. When the disciples had Jesus off to themselves, they asked, why couldn't we throw it out? Jesus said, because you're not yet taking God seriously. The simple truth is that if you had a mere kernel of faith, a poppy seed, say, you would tell this mountain, move, and it would move. There is nothing you wouldn't be able to tackle. So are you taking God seriously tonight? Are you taking the anointing of the glory that you got last night seriously? Or are you just saying, oh, wow, look at me, I got the glory. You're going to have to take it seriously. You know, I would be really afraid to have the mindset that a lot of the body of Christ has. Their attitude is just so-so with the gifts of God, and they do not handle them with the right grace. I would really be afraid of God if that was me. All right, Genesis 11, verse 1. Well, let's talk about the Tower of Babel. All right, so God said, if you just had the faith of a mustard seed, you would be able to remove the mountain. He said, and nothing would be able, you would be able to tackle everything. Now, Genesis 11, verse 1 says, now the whole earth had one language and one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. Then they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They had brick for stone, and they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. They were in one mind and one accord right there. What did they say? Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the earth. Well, first of all, they say, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in heaven. They were in total agreement. They were in one mind and one accord. No one was walking in doubt and unbelief. They knew that they could do this thing. They knew they could build that tower to heaven. They just knew it. And what did God say? But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, indeed, the people are one, and they all have one language, and this is what they begin to do, something bad, right? Now, nothing that they purpose to do will be withheld from them. If you really have total faith with God, when you go out there to minister, you'll be able to do everything the Word of God tells you that you can do. Luke 8:25, Jesus said unto them, where is your faith? And in Matthew 14:31, and Jesus said, immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? This is Peter not walking on the water. Oh, you of little faith, why did you not doubt? Why did you doubt? You're going to have total and complete faith every second of every day. Not just when you want to go pray for somebody. You're going to have to know in the very core of your being that God has anointed you to go forth with signs, wonders, and miracles. And you're going to have to believe that no matter where you go, what you do, that whatever you say is going to happen. Now, this is where you have to be listening to God's voice. He could say to you, I don't want you there praying for them because this is their time to die. Just leave it alone. I have a teaching together about everybody has a special day they're going to die. And too many people are out there doing things that aren't working, and they blame God, and it's them, because they're not hearing God's voice of how to pray for people. All right, John chapter 5, verse 4 says, for an angel went down at a certain time to the pool of Bethesda and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. And John 5:5-9 says, now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. He was at the pool of Bethesda, okay? When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he already had been in that condition a long time, he said to him, do you want to be made well? What did Jesus say? Do you want to be made well? This was just a simple yes or no question, right? And what did the man say? The sick man answered him, sir, I have no man to put me into the pool. God didn't ask him that. I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I am coming, another steps down before me. So Jesus, I'm quite sure he's upset. He just said, rise, take up your bed and walk. I didn't need all that other gyration. I just asked you, did you want to be healed? Either yes or no. Right? And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked, and that day was the Sabbath. Then it goes on saying where Jesus shouldn't have healed on the Sabbath. But we're all the same thing. God asks us a simple yes or no question, and we give him this long book, and we never give him the answer. Are you listening here? Do you really want to go heal? Are you ready to go heal, daughter? Well, yes, Lord, but you know, I got to go take a bath, and I have to do this, I have to do that. No, he didn't want to hear all that. He wanted to hear you and say, yes, I'm ready, or no, I'm not. Are you listening here? Matthew 14:35. And when the men of that place recognized him, they sent out into all the surrounding region, brought to him all who were sick, and begged him that they might only touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched it were made perfectly well. This was Jesus, and they said, all we want to do is touch your garment. And we know if we touch your garment, we're going to be made well. And it says here in the scripture, everybody touched it was made whole. You know, they didn't have to go through no gyration. They just knew that if they just touched the hem of his garment, he would be made whole. This man who I prayed back to life 3 times, then he died the 4th time, I told God, go and take it. When I went to his funeral and saw him laying there, I said to his brother, I'm going to go up there and pray because I know he'll come back to life. He said, you'll sit right here. You won't do no such thing. I mean, you know, this man had so much to do for God, but he wouldn't leave his wife. He was a heathen, and God said he wouldn't go to heaven if I didn't let him go ahead and go to heaven. He'd went to hell. But I so wanted him to live, and I so knew that if I went up there, God would raise him again. But I also knew that after the guy that I was with calmed me down, that it was against God's will for me to do that. Who was it would pull people out of casket and slam up against the wall with Smith? Smith Wigglesworth, he'd go pull people out of the wall and keep slamming up against the wall till they come back to life. He just had faith to believe that God would raise everybody from the dead, and he just pulled them out of the cast and slammed them up against the wall. It says they slide down, he'd pick them, slam up against the wall again till they start breathing. That's the kind of faith we have to have, guys. Come on. And if you can't believe this, and don't even try healing, because it's not going to work. I read all about healing, you know, once I was called into the ministry, and I found out what God really wanted to do. All right, Matthew, I think I'm in Matthew 9:20, right? Matthew 9:20, and suddenly a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years came from behind and touched the hem of Jesus' garment. For she said to herself, if only I may touch his garment, I shall be made well. Her faith. But Jesus turned around, and when he saw her, he said, be of good cheer, daughter. Your faith has made you well. See that? And the woman was made whole from that hour. She had been at that infirmity for 12 years. She's just waiting for Jesus to walk by. Amen? Come on. Now, Catherine Kuhlman didn't lay hands on the people in her ministry. The people just believed that they could get to her meetings, they would be made whole. She never once prayed for anybody. And she would just call the people up and ask them what happened to them. Then she touched them, they go out in the spirit. That's all she did. But God did all the work. Okay, so then I said, that were all healed that went to her meetings? No. Why? Because some came just to see if it worked. There was no faith, just curiosity. I have people come in here and say, well, I just came because you claim you do miracles here. I just want to see if you can really heal me. No, I can't. You brought all your doubt and unbelief with you, and I don't heal anyhow. It's Jesus. And you left, you came in a wheelchair, you left in a wheelchair. You were looking for man to do something man can't do. But if you'd have come in here with a whole lot of faith, believing that God was going to heal you while you sit in here in your wheelchair, you'd have walked out of that wheelchair and went home pushing your wheelchair. That's the way it works. Now, Benny Hinn didn't lay hands on the people. He just called them up and asked them what happened to them. One meeting, he was stuck in traffic, called the meeting hall, and they told him not to worry. God had already showed up, and healings were taking place. It wasn't Benny Hinn doing the healing. He was just a vessel God was using. You see that? See, it isn't me that's doing anything in these four walls. God just uses me as a vessel to open up the doors. Then when people come in, God does what the people need done. It isn't you that does anything in your whim as a go. You just open up the door, and then you invite God to come in and do what he wants to do. When you surrender yourself totally to God and he anoints you for the miraculous, word will spread abroad, and people will come looking for you just as they did Jesus, Peter, and Paul. Come on. Catherine Kuhlman had a lot of her meetings up here in Wilmington. And every time she put a flyer out saying she was going to be somewhere, the place was packed out. Because they just knew that if they went there, they would get healed. I can't remember who, my mother and I went somewhere over in the Baltimore area. They had the place packed out. And my mother got upset because she was sitting there. She said, Barbie. She said, that pastor, somebody's reading him cards. I said, Mother, they don't do that. Yes, that's what he's doing. Well, anyhow, the lady sitting next to me, you know, she kept going, rrr, rrr. And see, and I didn't know about deliverance then, and because I was just going around to churches. And I said, Ma'am, are you all right? Rrr, don't talk to me. Rrr. You know, next thing I know, she's puking green stuff all over the floor. And so this pastor come running down off the pulpit, you know, a platform, ran over to her and said, in the name of Jesus, come out of her, you know, and she was screaming and going on and laid down on the floor. But, you know, lo and behold, that's what that man was doing, his wife. They had people fill out cards at the door, and she took the cards, and she would read to him. He had a microphone on, and she would read to him, say, well, let's just say the lady in the green dress, she has ulcers, I'll just say that. And then he would call them up and then minister to that thing. Don't do that. That's not God, and it's not necessary. See, God has called this miracle service to get you people good and prepared to see, watch and see the miracles truly happen, but the right way and not the wrong way. Galatians Okay, no, Acts 14. Acts 14, verse 8 says, in Lystra, a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting, a cripple from his mother's womb who had never walked. This man heard Paul speaking. Paul, observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, stand up straight on your feet. And he leaped and walked. I've noticed, I used to spot people, you know, ministers, when I went around to churches before I was called in and ministry, and I watched what they do. And they would only pick out the people they saw had real faith. They wouldn't pick anybody else out because they knew they weren't going to work. And so if they watched who had real faith and they called them up, sure enough, they got healed every time. That's not right. All right, so maybe somebody doesn't have real faith to be healed, but you know, why not you use the power of God and authority God has given you? They lay hands on them, break that fear off of them, and let God go ahead and heal them, and then they'll get real faith, right? Come on. You know, all these people try to do is make a name for themselves. You know, I pray for a lot of people in here, even today, that I know are not going to receive from God. And God tells you why they can't receive from them. And that's why sometimes I say, just let them go. They're fine. Because you're not going to get through to them. Why stand here and rub their head raw, you know, and wear yourself out doing something that's never going to happen? If God shows you, if you're ministering, then you need to be walking in the Spirit where you hear God's voice and God will show you what to do with people. Don't try to make a name for yourself by belittling other people. Don't do that. Galatians chapter 4, verse 13 says, you know that because of physical infirmity, this is Paul speaking, and look what Paul says, because of physical infirmity, I preached the gospel to you at first. And my trial, which was in my flesh, you did not despise or reject, but you received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. What then was the blessing you enjoyed? For I bear you witness that, if possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and give them to me. So Paul had an infirmity in his eyes, according to this, right? And he said, even though I had an infirmity, I'm here ministering and God's healing you, but I'm still sick. And a month ago, I heard a physician, heal yourself. And I know somebody was saying that about me. And so today, I looked up the scriptures about, they said that to Jesus, physician, heal yourself. You know, and people, even though if you're sick and you're ministering healing, they're going to look at you, okay, so if this is all so wonderful and you're so anointed, why are you still sick? Well, it's none of your business. Ask God. You know. Because this is what Paul did. He, you know, they wouldn't have accepted him anyhow, whether he was sick or not. All right, God said, "You see, children, all I am looking for is a yielded, holy vessel that has faith to believe for the miraculous. Are you that vessel tonight? You see, children, all I'm looking for is a yielded, holy vessel." That has faith to believe for the miraculous. Are you that vessel tonight? Can I count on you to believe and allow me to do the miraculous? Then he says, you have passed from death to life. Move and do the works I've called you forth to do.